Paul begins in verse 10 by saying, finally, when he's talking about spiritual warfare, he's saying, this is what everything has been driving up to, what you face every day in your life as a Christian, putting on the whole armor of God and fighting the good fight of faith. So I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And we're going to be focusing on just 12 and 13. Hear now the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would write this word and this truth upon our hearts and minds, that we might walk with you even in difficult times. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in the midst of not only a series of sermons in Ephesians, but also a series of sermons on spiritual warfare. But I won't preach to you quite as long as William Grinnell did. He had a famous book on these passages, these 11 verses of Scripture, called The Christian in Complete Armor. But this was his subtitle: The Saint's War Against the Devil, wherein a discovery is made of that grand enemy of God and his people in his policies, power, the seat of his empire, wickedness, and the chief design he hath against the saints. A magazine opened from whence the Christian is furnished with spiritual arms for the battle, helped on with his armor, and taught the use of his weapons, together with a happy issue of the whole war. And he said that in 261 sermons. So I'm just giving you a summary. Thomas Brooks, another Puritan, said this: Christ, the Scripture, your hearts, and Satan's devices are the four prime things that should be first and most studied and searched. If any cast off study of these, they cannot be safe here nor happy hereafter. It is my work as a Christian, but much more as I am a watchman, to do my best to discover the fullness of Christ, the emptiness of the creature, and the snares of the great deceiver. Now, I am not an expert on spiritual warfare, so I'm not preaching to you my experience. I've been bloodied and I've lost in the battle as well, and I have been shamed at times. But I'm not preaching my experience. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm preaching Paul's exhortation. And you can preach about spiritual warfare so as to bring absolute terror to the people of God. If I were to describe in detail what we know of the devil and his power and his design and his power, you would be terrified. So I don't want to focus on him. Even though the sermon title is Know Your Enemy, we're not going to give him the press, so to speak. But the other way we can mishandle speaking about spiritual warfare is to satisfy idle curiosity, meaning to talk about the details or to fix our hearts and minds upon evil and upon demons and exactly what they do. Now, we need to be aware of their wiles, of their schemes, of their devices, but we are not to be overwhelmed. We're not to search into conspiracy theories and see if we can find the devil under any bush. But the one thing we are to realize from this passage of Scripture is that the devil is real, that spiritual warfare is real, and that you can't fight him on your own. And therefore, knowing Christ and hiding in Him is the key to spiritual warfare. So let me just give you some encouragement that we've already had in preparation for this passage from the book of Ephesians. Some of the things that He has already told us, and these things are in your notes. Those who are in Christ have already received every spiritual gift. The armor is ours. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Those in Christ have been enthroned with Christ, and He raised us up with Him and seated us in the heavenly places. And here's that phrase again, in Christ Jesus. Knowing Christ, being in Him, is the key to spiritual warfare. Those in Christ have been given awesome power, been given the power that Christ had when He was raised from the dead. And Christ and His power is greater than the rulers and the authorities in this world. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And fourthly, those in Christ are, in some sense, educating the spiritual powers. The church exists so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So Paul tells us that in Christ, that in His strength, that with His weapons, we shall be able to stand. And that's where we need to focus our time and our attention. Let me give you some more encouragement from the rest of Scripture. You are from God, little children, and we have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. And then the passage that Peter that we just read. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock of your confession, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So you've heard these things before. Never underestimate your enemy, and you need to know your enemy. But let me add another one. You need to trust your armor. As you walk the Christian life, as you face temptations, as you engage in spiritual warfare, you need to trust your armor. Never doubt it. In Christ, we are victorious. So, do you know what I've done so far in the introduction of the sermon? I've helped you put your armor on. This is what we are called to do daily. If we are going to live the Christian life, if we are going to fight in spiritual warfare, we need to be reminded of who we are in Christ. We need to be reminded of the spiritual blessings which have been given to us. We need to be reminded of the armor that He has given us. And we need to put it on daily. He begins by saying that our enemy is not, we don't fight merely against, and this is literally how it is in the text, blood and flesh. Just doesn't sound right when you put blood first, does it? Flesh and blood. We always think of it that way. It's flesh and blood, flesh and blood. But what does it mean? It means not human. Our battle, the Christian life, is not only fought against other people. It's not fought merely on the human level. There is a spiritual dimension for our battle. And we need to begin to see the things that happen to us life, or in this life, from a new perspective, from a spiritual perspective. John Calvin in his commentary says this, our difficulties are far greater than if we had to fight with men. There we resist human strength. Sword is opposed to sword. Man contends with man. Force is met by force and skill by skill. But here, in spiritual warfare, the case is widely different. Let us remember this when the injurious treatment of others provokes us to revenge. Our natural disposition would lead us to direct all of our exertions against the men themselves. But this foolish desire will be restrained by the consideration that the men who annoy us are nothing more than darts thrown by the hand of Satan. The men who annoy us, the situations that are difficult to us, are nothing more than the darts thrown by the hand of Satan. So while we are employed in destroying those darts, we lay ourselves open to be wounded on all sides. What does he mean? There is a spiritual dimension to our warfare, and we need to see the enemy behind the enemy. Annoying, obnoxious, and abusive people and circumstances are only darts thrown by the hand of Satan. Have you ever put on sunglasses and it just removed all the glare and you can see things clearly? That's what Paul is trying to do for us here, that in spiritual warfare, in the Christian life, your enemy just isn't on the horizontal plane. It isn't just against flesh and blood. It isn't just against annoying, sinful people. it is against the devil himself. And you need to see the power behind the power. When Georgia plays Alabama in football, maybe the greatest enemy isn't the players on the other side, but it's that coach. What's his name? The Alabama coach. Nick somebody. I don't know who it is. Nick somebody. Nick Saban. He's the brains behind the operation. So when you play against Alabama, you're really playing against Nick Saban. He's from Michigan State originally, by the way. Anyway. But we need to see that the battle isn't just against men. The battle isn't just with our circumstances. There is an organizing, coaching power behind all the stuff that happens in this life. There is an organized spiritual rebellion going on, and it has an impact upon us. Our battle, in other words, is not against flesh and blood. And we need to see the battle in those dimensions, because if we don't see the battle in those dimensions, we're not going to put on the armor of God. We're not going to put on spiritual armor. Because we'll think it's just another man or another woman that I'm battling against. We'll see it only on a personal level, perhaps, instead of on a spiritual level. And we need to fight this warfare on a spiritual level. So our struggle is against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And when it says our struggle is against the spiritual forces of wickedness, the struggle that he mentions there is really wrestling. You can't fight spiritual warfare by pushing a button on a computer and sending a drone over there to shoot somebody. Spiritual warfare is intensely personal. It is hand-to-hand combat. It is wrestling. We wrestle with the spiritual forces of wickedness. Our real fight is on the spiritual level. Have you ever heard this phrase before? You can't kill time without wounding eternity. How about this one? You can't indulge in temptation without crippling your spirit. If you are doing the wrong thing, sort of by definition, you're not doing the right thing. What do I mean by that? There are spiritual implications to our failure in spiritual warfare. When we fail to resist temptation, when we fail to walk with God, there is a spiritual dimension. There are spiritual implications to our failure. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We need to learn to say no to ourselves, no to our sinful desires, no to our temptations, so that we can say yes to something better. So that we can engage fruitfully in spiritual warfare. So that we can, having done all things, stand and not give ground. Sin cripples us for the service of God. Sin cripples us for the warfare. Remember, when we're involved in spiritual warfare, when you're involved in warfare in general, if you're wounded, what happens? You're getting taken off the front lines until you're healed. But then you've got to get back into the battle. We need to fight, and we need to stand. We need to put on our armor. So there is a spiritual dimension, and there are spiritual implications to our struggle. But where is the battle enjoined for you? If it is personal hand-to-hand combat that we fight in a very personal way with the spiritual forces of wickedness, where is the battle enjoined for you? Where are you temptable? Where are you open for the enemy's attacks? Where have you signed a peace treaty or compromised? Where is the battle enjoined for you? This is a personal battle, and it isn't just out there somewhere. It happens every day to us. It is intensely personal. Where does the devil have a foothold in your life? What is the sin that so easily besets you? That's where the battle is joined. That's where you need to take a stand. So he says that our enemy is the spiritual forces of wickedness. How does he put it in the text? Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's the real enemy. But there are many people, even commentators, who are trying to empty the spiritual dimension, empty Christianity of its spiritual dimension. We live in a very naturalistic world, so we don't believe in, like, demons and evil spirits and things like that, do we? Well, if you don't believe in evil spirits, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? A lot of people think it's an antiquated worldview to believe about demons or devils. It's just backwards, superstitious, ignorant talk, isn't it? There are many commentators who sort of do the same thing. They try to forget about the vertical dimension. Forget about the spiritual dimension. What Paul is really talking about is really all on the horizontal level. He's talking about government systems. He's talking about worldviews, perhaps. He's talking about economic and political and social forces. That's who we're really fighting against. And I guess I would take it that, yes, those are the players on the field. Those are the ones that we are enter the gridiron with, so to speak. But there is a power behind the power that we're fighting against. There is a spiritual dimension to everything because we live in a spiritual universe. We are physical, spiritual creatures made in the image of God. And so there is a spiritual dimension to our warfare. So are the devil and demons and Satan, do they really exist? Well, I said this last time, Jesus seems to think so. The Bible seems to think so. And isn't it true that the greatest enemy that you have is the one that you don't know that you have? The one that you are completely ignorant of. Have you ever heard of a surprise attack or the element of surprise? If you don't believe that he exists, he's already got you. So our warfare, if our warfare were only against flesh and blood, then we wouldn't need spiritual armor. We wouldn't need God's armor, would we? We could handle it on our own. Therefore, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Know who you are fighting against, ultimately. It's not just other people. It is not just an adverse set of circumstances. You are fighting a spiritual battle. And you need spiritual armor to overcome. So who are we fighting? We are fighting those who are in tyrannical control of the world of ignorance and sin and sadness. So he uses four different terms for these, the spiritual dimension, the enemies that we fight, rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over this present darkness and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And there are some people who take this as four different categories of demons, or maybe it's a hierarchy of demons. And I don't think you can get from the text or even really from anywhere else in Scripture a detailed organizational chart of how the devils are arranged. I don't think that's even what Paul is getting at. I think he is highlighting and underscoring and repeating that we are fighting a spiritual battle, that we have real enemies on the spiritual realm. But the rulers and authorities that were mentioned earlier, far above all, rule and power and dominion in every name that is named. Jesus has power over them. Therefore, we're not to focus upon them necessarily, but upon God and his armor and what God has done for us in Christ, over the cosmic powers over this darkness, meaning they have influence in the world in which we live. And it does come to expression in social and economic ways. But that's not the only battle that we face. We're not fighting just the Alabama defensive line. We're fighting Nick Saban. Or cheering for him. Sorry, whichever side of the battle you're on. The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I think this is just a summary term of everything. There is a spiritual dimension to our warfare. And we need to be convinced of it, or we won't think that we need spiritual armor. So Paul goes at great length to wake us up to this spiritual warfare so that you would rely not upon yourself, but upon the power of God. But there is also a promise here. Look at the end of the text. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you will be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Can't just skip to the end here. Therefore, you'll stand firm. There are some prerequisites, some necessary things that have to be done. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You will stand having done everything, having put on the armor of God, having drawn near to God, committing yourself and being dependent upon God's strength and having faithfully done your spiritual workouts. I was telling the kids in class today, the Sunday school class, that what would you say if I were to tell you that I am an Olympic athlete? And they laughed. Why would they laugh at that? I don't look like an athlete, I guess.
How are your spiritual workouts going? Are you a spiritual athlete? Are you armed and ready for battle? Evil is our enemy. The spiritual forces of evil over this present darkness. Evil is our enemy. So we are in a battle against the world system that stands against Christ and His kingdom. But we fight against the world system, and we fight against the spiritual forces of wickedness behind them. It's a both and. Because we know who stands behind the Christless human endeavors of the world. Now, we are not given details about our enemy. And this list of the rulers and the authorities over this cosmic darkness, we're not giving details about them because we're not to focus on them. We're to know that they're real and that the battle is genuine, but we're not to let our minds just focus upon the enemy. But rather, we need Christ. We need God's armor. We need God's help. The enemy is smarter and stronger than we are, so we need Christ and we need the gospel. So we need to take up the full armor of God so that we will be able to resist, be able to stand when the evil day comes. And when is the evil day? Wasn't that speaking of the end times? I don't think it's speaking of the end times here. The evil day is when evil comes to your door, when it comes calling, when it comes knocking. Will you stand where your temptation visits you? That's where it's engaged. Will you yield to the temptation, or will you stand in the power of God? Will you take a stand against evil as it visits you? That's the evil day, when temptation knocks upon the door of your heart. We are to, having done all things, to stand. We are to have our spiritual armor on. Start the day with this. Lord, I know who you are. I know what you've done for me in Christ. I know what I am as a Christian. I know the gifts and the things that you have given me in order to be able to stand. So Lord, help me to put on the armor and to stand when my temptation comes, because temptation will come to me today. I will be tempted to doubt. I will be tempted to waver. I'll be tempted to compromise. And Lord, I know it's coming. So you need to help me so I can stand when the evil day comes, because the evil day is today in many ways. So help me to stand. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to honor you, even in the midst of spiritual warfare. Have you heard this phrase before, that if you're in a debate and the other guy defines the terms, he wins every time? If you can define the terms of debate and the terms of what you debate, then they win every time. But if you can get others to dwell upon your strong points, you win every time. So I don't want you to think so much about the devil and the demons and Satan and their power. I don't want you to examine conspiracy theories and try to figure out what's really behind this and how it's really all working, and spend all of your time and energy trying to figure out what the devil is doing behind all these things. I rather would like you to get on God's program, to put on God's armor, to understand what God has said, not what the demons have said, not what they're trying to do, but what God Himself has said. And to put on the armor of God, to take God at His word, to act in faith. Put your armor on and do what He tells you. In a good football game, you can tell football's coming, can't you? All these illustrations about football. The players on the field, they do what their coach tells them. Whatever play the coach calls, that's what they run. They obey. Can you imagine a football team where they all did their own thing and ran in different directions, didn't know what the play was, didn't really matter? They wouldn't last very long. That's the story of Georgia. Sorry. But we, as part of God's armor, we need to listen to our coach. We need to do the plays that He gives us. We need to obey the living God. We need to put on the armor of God if we are going to be able to stand against our temptations. So really what I want you to do, if you're going to put on the armor of God and succeed in spiritual warfare, is I want you to hide yourself in the love of God in Christ. To know who He is and what He has done for you, because He has already won the victory over the spiritual forces of wickedness. The victory has already been achieved, even though we may fight various skirmish battles before the end times come. We need to enjoy and fully enter into His new community blessings. The church, the people of God, we need each other. That's how God ministers to us. That's in one way that we put on the armor of God. We strengthen and encourage one another in the body of Christ. So we need to dwell on God's strong points. We need to have Him define the terms of the debate. And He'll win every time. We shouldn't need to be fascinated by demons or fascinated even by angels. I've seen people who go overboard on either studying demonology or angelology. They fixate upon those things instead of fixating upon Christ, who stands over them both. So we are to daily put on the armor of God. So in the introduction of the sermon, I showed you one way to do that. Review who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you. But how are your devotions going? How many days have you gone without putting your armor on? And how's that gone for you? How are your spiritual exercises going? I would encourage you to review the gospel daily. What God has done for you in Christ, yes, but the victory that Christ has won over the spiritual forces of wickedness. We face a strong enemy, yes, but a defeated enemy. Hide yourself in the love of God every morning. Be reminded of who you are in Christ every day, so that you can stand against evil, so that you can resist temptation. Be satisfied, content, saturated with Christ, and temptations will lose their power. Humility and contentment will grow as you embrace the gospel every day. Satan will not seem to be so alluring when you find yourself happy and fulfilled in Christ, in Christian service, even in Christian fellowship. That's what it means to have the armor on, to hide yourself in Christ, who has already won the battle. So we need not be afraid, because the battle has already been won in Christ. The victory has already been achieved. And He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. So we can head into spiritual warfare without fear, because we know we can resist the devil and he will flee from us, because we know greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. You can resist your particular form of temptation because Christ is in you. You can achieve the victory. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your help, for the victory that has already been won. We thank You that we can hide ourselves in You, that we can put our armor on daily and know that we will be able to stand, that we will be able to discern the schemes and the wiles of the devil. So, Lord, help us not to compromise. Help us not to sign a peace treaty, but help us to fight. Help us to stand. Help us to truly be on the Lord's side. Help us to enter into the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and there to rest, there to know our joy and a peace that passes all understanding. So, Lord, I do pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we all are in the midst of the battle, and there are times in which we fail. We thank You that You have never failed, and that we can return to You and hide ourselves in You for forgiveness and for strength, for healing, so that we may head back into the battle again with the armor of God, so that we may be able to stand. So bless us, Lord, and bless our church, for we do this not only as individuals, but we do this as the body of Christ. Help us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So bless us, Lord, as we continue to fight the good fight, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.